Rabbi Hugo Green famously told the story of his father in the winter of 1944 while they were together in a concentration camp in Liberec, having announced it was the eve of the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. He took a homemade clay bowl and a wick, and he immersed it in his now precious ration of margarine. Before he could recite the blessing, Hugo looked up at his father and he protested, "We need food. We can't afford to waste it on a candle." His father looked at Hugo and then at the lamp and responded, "You and I have seen that it is possible to live for 3 weeks without food. We have once lived almost 3 days without water, but you can't live at all without hope." We need hope in today's world. Hope is a really powerful thing. Or Joni Erickson, a quadriplegic for over 40 years after a diving accident, said, "Hope, the best of things." Let's go a little bit deeper and a wee bit more personal today. We're free. We're not in a concentration camp. We aren't quadriplegics. We've got plenty. Why do we need hope today? Well, think of the physical condition of our bodies, possibly an ongoing disability, possibly the chronic pain that you are facing, possibly the cancer diagnosis that you have had recently. Think of the mental ailments that you possibly have, the dark cloud of depression that hangs over you. Think of our wee country, Northern Ireland. In the past year, as in the 3 or 4 years before, there's been 300 suicides a year in our country. 25 per 100,000 men taking their own lives. The agony of a broken world. Think about our relationships. Think about your relationship with your spouse or your lack of a spouse. Think of your broken relationship with your parents or possibly your lack of parents. Think of your relationship with your children or your lack of children. With your boss or your lack of a boss. With your friends or your lack of friends. Your neighbors or your lack of neighbors. Your church family or your lack of church family. Whatever our circumstances, however you find yourselves gathered here today or listening or watching along, there's a deep need within all of us for hope. We feel it so acutely from time to time. And possibly as you're listening today, you just feel it all the time. You are searching, longing for hope. And God's Word, the Bible that we have heard read from Robin today, is the most relevant book that we can turn to today to find hope. It is the most relevant book that we can add to our shopping carts. It explains the reason why we need hope. It explains the world that we live in. We need hope today because we are spiritually lost. We need hope today because we are spiritually blind. We need hope today because we are spiritually dead. We need hope today because we've turned our backs on God as individuals and as a society. We have tried to live totally independently from God, enjoying his blessings, but not wanting to live under his rule and his reign. And you know what? That's led us to some pretty dark places. Far from God, unable in ourselves to get back to him. And the Bible says that if we don't know Christ, we are lost. We are like the lost sheep. We are like the lost cow. We are like the lost son. And possibly if you don't know who any of those things or people are that I'm referring to, the Bible says that we are lost. What does that mean? Well, quite a lot, but it does mean that we don't know where we have come from. It means that we don't know why we are here. It means we don't know where we are going. And that causes us to continue to make some pretty bad decisions. The Bible says that if we are outside of Christ today, that we are lost. What about those of us who do know Christ and claim him as our Lord? We have been found. Wonderful. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But as the other hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. We're prone to wander in our thoughts, to fixate on things apart from God, to wander in our actions, to look for hope in hopeless places, to look for hope apart from Christ. We're prone to wander in our words, which are simply an overflow of our heart. How often have we cut somebody down? How often have we gossiped about somebody? How often have we slandered about somebody? Because do you know what? Actually, deep within our hearts is a hopelessness that we feel, and we think if we can just put somebody else down, then we can rise up above them. We feel it, and we're prone to wonder. Even the guy who wrote that hymn, he wandered far from his faith too. Ultimately, we are lost today. We need hope today because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God, and because of the other people's sin around us that affects us and causes us to need hope as well. And as one person has said, that sense of being lost in the world has simply grown during the pandemic. I wonder, do you feel your lostness this morning as you listen along? I wonder, do you see your need for hope? I hope you do. I wonder, do you see the need for hope of your friends and your family and the people of Bangor? I wonder, do you see the need for hope of your work colleagues? I wonder, do you see the need for hope of people who seemingly have it all? I wonder, do you see the need for hope of people in Canada? I wonder, do you see the need for hope of people in North Korea, in China, in Africa, in Asia, in the Islamist world and the Buddhist world, and in our Northern Irish world? Do you see the need for hope all around us? I hope you do. So where do we find hope? I think all of us agree that there is indeed a great need for hope that we have. So where do we find it? Well, a quick Google search. Where do we find hope as we enter 2022? One blogger, the first page of Google, who was concerned for our planet, said she recommends placing our hope in the next generation, who are more than all right, who are incredible, knocking it out of the park for our planet. The Daily Mirror, also on the first page of results, gives 22 reasons for hope in 2022. And I think nearly 21 of them were to do with the fact that the Conservatives were probably going out of power and a new political party was going to come in. And the 22nd reason was that the first badger had been born in Exmoor for over 400 years. Another blogger says 75% of people believe 2022 will be better than 2021 because of the vaccine rollout. The Guardian said that there is hope for 2022 because of a new trade deal that is being created. The next generation, political parties, a greener planet, a bit more money. Is that really where we're going to expect people to find their hope? Is that where we're going to look for our hope as believers? Certainly some aspects of hope in all of those things, but nothing is certain. The generation after us may or may not be better. It depends who you talk to. A new party in government, either locally or nationally, may or may not be better. Our planet may or may not be greener. We may or may not have a bit more money, but I think all of us have had enough money in the past or present to know that doesn't really give us a hope that we long for. And it's going to be no surprise today that as we search for hope, the source of hope is found in God's Word, the Bible. And the source of our hope is actually our God of hope. Right throughout Scripture, we can see this God of hope. Jonathan read from Lamentations, just one example of the God of hope and the hope that he gives to his people. But go right back to Genesis, the hope of a serpent crusher. Go to Abraham, the hope that he would have a child and be the father of a great nation. The hope that God gave to Moses that his failure was not final and that the people who were in captivity would not remain there. Right throughout Scripture, God is a God of hope who gives hope to his people so that they become a people of hope. Today, we are focusing on the God of hope. In our second talk in February, we're going to be looking about what it is to be a people of hope. And then towards Easter, we want to share this hope far and wide. We want to invite our friends and our family and our community in here to explore who Jesus is, to do a hope explored course. But firstly, we want to find ourselves amazed at the hope that we find in God. We want to be people of hope before we even consider sharing it with others. There is a God of hope, and he gives hope to people in a lost and in a weary world. So what is the hope that God offers? Well, it's more than just wishful thinking. What is biblical hope? Well, over the years, I've done a range of funerals and burials, and whenever we bury people as believers, we use these words as we commit the body to the ground. We say that we do it in the sure and in the certain hope of the resurrection from the dead. The hope that is talked about in the Bible is not wishful thinking. It is sure and it is certain. It's based on what Christ has done and what he will do in the future. And I want us as a church family to embrace this hope that we can have as we go into 2022, so that the people around us, outside, who come into us will see they are a people of hope. They are a people who have a God of hope. There's a range of places that we could have gone to today to explore hope, but we have come to 1 Peter. Peter, the end of his life, is writing this letter to the churches throughout the Roman Empire at the time in what we call Turkey today. People here are facing immense and intense persecution from Nero, and it's only ever going to intensify. People here are living in a truly weary world. People here are going to be burned for their faith. One commentator said of the book of 1 Peter, Peter wants his readers to live triumphantly in the midst of hostility, without abandoning hope, become bitter, losing faith in Christ, or forgetting his second coming. And isn't that what we need in 2022? To live triumphantly, to not abandon hope, to not become bitter, to not to lose faith in Christ, and not to forget his second coming? I wonder if you're like I am, and in 2021, you were succumbed to abandoning hope at times, to become bitter at times, to losing faith at times, and to forgetting that the second coming of Christ is coming. But we need to remind ourselves, we need to be immersed in God's word to remind ourselves that we can live triumphantly, that we don't have to abandon hope, that we don't have to become bitter, we don't have to lose faith, and we don't have to forget the second coming, that we can turn to the God of hope in the weary world. So let's turn to the doxology in verses 3 and 4 as we hone in to see this wonderful doxology, to examine the hope that comes from the God of hope. And the hope that we have in a world of chaos and confusion, in a world of fear and anxiety, our hope is found in God. The source of our hope is God, and Peter begins, praise be to the Lord, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He turns our attentions to Yahweh, to God, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that he goes on to say in the book of 1 Peter is based on who God is, his character, and the hope that is found in him. God is a God of hope, of a sure and of a certain hope. He is never anxious about the future. He's not worried about tomorrow because he's outside of time and he's already there. He's not anxious about the present because he's working all things together for the good of those who love him. All things are under his control, even whenever from our perspective it just seems so out of control. God's a God of hope. But is it just Peter who believes this? What about Paul? Well, Paul writes to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 15, verse 15, and says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may then overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here Paul, along with Peter, saying, look at the God of hope, so that you then become people of hope, so that you can then share this hope with people who are hopeless. God has many things. He is love, he is merciful, he is gentle, he is just, he is merciful, and he is hope. All of these things, all of the time, that is God's character. God is a God of hope. He is a fountain from which hope springs and flows. God is a God of hope. The source of our hope today is God. I want to emphasize it and re-emphasize it and say it again. God is the source of our hope today. My hope is found in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So when do we receive this hope from God? Yes, God's a God of hope, but how does that affect us? Well, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. God gives us this hope at our rebirth. We don't talk an awful lot today in Christian circles about being born again. But it happens whenever we become a Christian. Nicodemus asks, what must I do to be born again? To be reborn into a new family, to have new desires, to have a new identity, to have God as a father, to have other Christians as our siblings, to have the new heavens and the new earth that is to come as our new home. God gives us this hope at a rebirth. I just pause and just to say, if you're watching on today, or if you're here, and if you're not a Christian, if you don't know Christ, if you don't know this rebirth, can I urge you to turn to Christ this morning? To find your hope in him. It's amazing whenever we're given this new birth. It's as if God has hit the reset button for us. All of our past sins have been washed away. We are no longer lost. We are no longer abandoned. We are no longer walking in darkness. We are no longer spiritually dead. But we have been found. We are walking in the light. We have spiritually, truly spiritually alive. We become people of hope because we know the God of hope. Because we know God of hope, because we've been transformed by the hope that he gives us, we can then have something to share with our weary world. That's where we need to have one eye on Easter. And in the run-up to Easter, to be thinking, who could I share this hope with? Who could I invite to come to explore this hope? We become people of hope because we know the God of hope, because he has given us new life. You say, Keith, tell us more about the hope that God gives us. Well, God doesn't just give us any old hope. He gives us living hope. I hope you can see it here in the passage. This term for hope in the Greek is an eager, confident expectation. One commentator said that the world around us only knows of a dying hope, but the Christian can have a living hope. Bloggers know of a dying hope. Social media influencers know of a dying hope. Newsreaders know of a dying hope. Politicians know of a dying hope. Hope, but the Christian can know of the living hope. Somebody else has said, the hope of the believer is not only living, but it is lively. One translation says, it's a hope that lives on. Unlike the empty, dead hope of this world, this living hope is energizing, alive, active in the soul of the believer. We live with great expectation, as another translation says. Our living hope originates from a living, resurrected Savior. Peter's living hope is Jesus Christ. Do you know this living hope today? Is it affecting your thoughts? Is it affecting your actions? Is it affecting your words? Does our world around us know that we have this living hope? Does it know that we are people of hope? Or is our chat hopeless? Is our outlook hopeless? Or do we have a glimmer of hope? Yes, we know how weary and broken and hurting the world is. But do we have this hope? Can people see it? If somebody walked in here today, as they watch on, would they see that we are indeed people of hope, that have this living, lively hope? Remember when the woman went to the tomb? They thought Jesus was dead. They had no hope. They were anxious and they were fearful. But God gives us this hope through Jesus. Peter says that we're given this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as the woman went to the tomb, as the disciples, some of them went to the tomb or encountered Jesus later, their lives were totally transformed. Why? Because Jesus wasn't dead, but he was alive. He was alive and well. All of his words were true. Who he promised to be was true. The grave was not the end. Sin could not hold him. He defeated sin, he defeated Satan, and he defeated death. Christ won the victory on the cross. The cross is empty and the tomb is empty. These people who encountered the risen Christ, and Peter is one of them, went on to be people of great hope, to turn the world upside down, sharing this message of hope that regardless what would happen to them, and generally they give their lives for the cause of Christ, they pressed on. Why? Because they knew the resurrection of Jesus Christ from them. They knew this world was not their home. They knew that there was a lost and a hurting world out there that they needed to tell the truth to, even though nearer would come and would burn some of them alive. They could have this living, lively hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God gives us hope. God gives us this hope at rebirth. God gives us this hope that is living. God gives us this hope through Jesus. And God gives us this hope that cannot be touched. Verse 4 here says, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. And Peter continues this wonderful doxology with a look to the future, with a look towards heaven, to the new heavens and the new earth at the coming of Christ. He does it so often in his letter. Verse 13, he says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ will be revealed. Paul had the same outlook as well. In Colossians 1, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 1, 18, I pray your eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance for his holy people. As we live in this beautiful and this weary world, as we seek to live as people of hope, we look back to the cross. We look back to the resurrection. We look back to what Christ has done for us, and it's marvelous. We also look to the future. We look to the future of Christ coming again to rule and to reign. We look forward to our inheritance in heaven. We look forward to being adopted into God's family. This inheritance is from God, our Father. It's an inheritance that says here, we'll never perish, spoil, or fade. Politicians cannot touch it. Sickness cannot touch it. COVID cannot touch it. Financial crashes cannot touch us. Our inheritance is safe and secure, kept in heaven for us. We can be people of hope today because we know this world is not all that there is. We know that the suffering that we experience one day will end. We know that the heartbreak that we are journeying through one day will end. We know that our faith will one day become sight. We know that we will be free, not just from the penalty of sin as we are now, but from the very presence of sin one day, to live totally free. We have a great need for hope. God and God alone is the source of our hope. I want to really encourage you as we begin 2022 to seek to cultivate this hope that we have. You say, Keith, well, how can we do it? Well, can I encourage you to spend time with the person of hope, God, the Lord Jesus, to read through the Gospels, to read through certain passages on hope in the Old and in the New Testament, to see that we truly do have a God of hope, to see it and to read it for yourselves, to ponder these passages, to memorize a couple of verses on hope. Can I encourage you to listen to songs of hope? We've heard four of them today already. Music does a wonderful thing of just encouraging us and helping us. How much more even whenever the lyrics are pointing us to the God of hope, to the source of hope, to the person of hope, the Lord Jesus. Can I encourage you to listen to songs of hope, to download some good songs, whatever your preference of music is. This is a wonderful thing. Whatever your preference of Christian music is, you can listen to it all day long at home. And you can listen to songs of hope. And can I encourage you to spend time physically with people of hope? If you're able, spend time with people of hope. Surround yourself with people of hope. Surround yourself with people who are encouraging. Don't surround yourself with gossips and slanderers and people who are critical. Surround yourselves with people of hope. Gather together as often as you can with people of hope, formally and informally. If you see somebody who clearly has a great hope in Christ, ask them, can you come and talk to them? Ask them, can you phone them? Can you spend time? Because as somebody has said, I think it's Jonah Erickson as well, says hope is contagious. Wouldn't it be great to see hope sweep through our church family? See hope sweep through our town. To see hope sweep through our growth groups. See hope sweep through our children's work and then our youth work. As I close, finally, in recent days I've been reading a few of the catechisms and sort of wishing I had been brought up in a church where catechisms were more of a thing. But here's a Heidelberg catechism. I think it's question 39. It says, what is our only comfort, our only hope in life and death? And here's the answer. That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has paid fully for my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would remind us and show us afresh of our need for hope if we ever need it. Father, we feel it so acutely day and daily. And Father, I pray that you would help us to turn to you, the source and the fountain of hope, for that hope. Father, would you forgive us when we look to created things for hope rather than to you, the Creator, the one who rules and reigns over all. Father, thank you that we can turn to you, even for the first time today, to find our living hope in Jesus, to experience that new birth for the reset button to be hit off, knowing our sins forgiven and our hope secured in Christ. So, Father, would your Spirit convict us, encourage us, help us not just to be hearers, but to be doers also. In Jesus' name, amen.